This is the Saturday evening continuation of the open meeting of the Pacifica National Board on Saturday, April 24th. I'll ask our Secretary Afiu Angaza to take the roll.
Sharam Agamaya.
Present.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Andrea Turner. Joseph Wanzala.
Here.
Sean O'Brien.
Here.
Leslie Radford. Summer Reese.
Present.
Rico Ross. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Alberto Loera.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Richard Uzel. Nia Bidiaco.
Present.
Kathy Davis.
Here.
Jennifer Jaeger.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Alonzo Brown. Campbell Johnson. Kimmery Orendorf. Marcel Reed.
Present.
Jim Bennett, Ifia Wangaza, present.
Campbell
I believe.
Johnson's present also.
As is Leslie Radford.
Campbell Johnson and Leslie Radford have arrived. I believe we have a quorum.
Okay. I want to thank those of you who got here on time. We're starting a half hour late. It's now 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is the time scheduled for open comment, and I propose that we go directly into open comment. Do we have a list ready yet? Is there anybody out there that still needs to put their name on the list? If you would, do so.
Okay.
Are you first?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Because I took the initiative of starting the list.
That's right. That's correct. Okay. Let me. I'll guess 2 minutes apiece.
Okay. I'm Sharon Gluck again, former KPFK lab and volunteer programmer for Radio Intifada. First of all, I want you all to see this T-shirt, KPFK 50 Years Strong. Well, I wanted to make a comment earlier about programming. The signal is still very strong, but the programming is weak. I do not believe that being slightly left of NPR, more and more hours with programming that is slightly left of NPR and not as professionally produced, is how to make our station strong. But what I want to talk about, I want to get back to the issue again of a motion that you all passed. I was hoping that you would reconsider it, or I think that Nia has on here new business, which you'll probably never get to, rescinding that motion. But George Ryder finally realized, I guess, that the motion you passed that empowered the LSB to take certain actions, including suspending members, is not in compliance with the Pacifica bylaws. And he has a motion to change that. Given that, I hope that you might issue a mandate to the LSBs to not act on that, from my point of view, for a host of reasons. Totally ill-advised motion, but a motion that is not in conformity with the bylaws. Our own LSB took your motion that is in violation of the bylaws and proceeded to suspend someone retroactively. So I hope that you will cease and desist, in effect, until you could get, A, either rescind it or at least get it in conformity with the bylaws as per George Ryder's motion.
Thank you. Don DeBar. And next is Nancy Kent.
Thank you very much. Very quickly off the top, just to respond to what Janet Coleman from WBAI said last night, she has some delusion that I didn't spend 2 years that are still on audio port producing three news programs a day, 5 days a week for the period from July of 2007 through 2009, so I couldn't have been fired. when they told me I couldn't do it anymore. For free. I wasn't getting paid. I was just unpaid staff, which we have here. I'll deal with that tomorrow. Some numbers that people should know about, though. The first is the people that came and took over WBAI to save it because had reckless radicals, black folks that were alienating white audience, per Steve Brown, all over the record. We're going to save us money and make us money. And the programming had to be changed so we could earn money. From 08, which was the last year under Bernard White, program director, we had $3 million of listener money. In 09, the first year of Tony Bates as program director, his first program director year in his life, $1.6 million. Again, $3 million to $1.6 million. Listener support. Aggregate funding under the regime. LaVarne Williams as the IGM at the time went from $3.6 million to $2.2 million. 1 year period. At the beginning of this in 94, we raised $2.4 million. There's that to consider. The folks that took over to run the business couldn't run a paper route, and they're running BAI into the ground towards a place where the only way to save it is going to be to sell it. Is that an accident? I'm not sure of that. The other number I want to get across, which is also important, the you know the finances of the station, I mean the aggregate are important, but you know what? I have 10 seconds left. That's an important number too. At Free Speech Radio, I came 3,000 miles to speak. I get 2 minutes last night, 2 minutes this afternoon, 2 minutes tonight, 2 minutes tomorrow. I could tell you how to save $400,000 a year on the lease, which I've been trying to do for a year now since I spoke with Grace Aaron about it a year ago. It's possible. A moron, well, not any moron, but some morons could actually break that lease in a year, and some haven't.
Nancy Kent and then Fernando Velasquez.
Nancy Kent, listener of KPFK, and I would like to respectfully request that you change the bylaws so that the Pacifica elections happen less frequently. Thank you.
Save $200,000.
Fernando Velasquez and then Ken Aaron.
I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. Maybe 120 seconds will do, huh? The immigrant community now has been extended to anybody that looks brown in Arizona and apparently around the country as well. And although our interim program director said that we are very watchful and very attend and committed to the good causes in this world and the Pacifica Mission is moving forward with him, when the SHIT hit the fan in Arizona, we didn't interrupt regular programming to announce that the Latinos are being hunted in Arizona, that they are being rushed to the gas chambers in Arizona, as they're planning to do right now, and I really urge you to take a position on this hunting of immigrants that is going on. So please remember that this is the Pacifica Foundation, this is the Pacifica Mission, and they were supposed to be doing something about peace, not to promote it. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. Ken Aaron and Israel Foya.
Hi, I just want to come out of the closet and say that we should have more extensive coverage of chemtrails and 9/11 conspiracy. Yeah. And comprehensive, broadened scope, done in a fashion that will solicit understanding and interest from the general public, from the people who disagree with us, from the people who don't want to look at it. We have to stop preaching to the choir, we have to extend out. But these are actual issues. And they're of great concern to a majority of the public. If anybody looks at the surveys, I think it's 70% of New Yorkers do not accept the government's story about 9/11. And the chemtrails, just look up. And if you saw that when you were a kid, good. I didn't. Something's changed. Something's going on. And the previous speaker here talked about the numbers. It's we should be dealing in controversy of all kinds. I feel bad when any of the stations just follow a rote, narrow political band. We should have a broad scope covering all viewpoints.
Thank you. Israel Foyer and then Reza Poor.
You know, following up those comments, it comes to mind, we need more light, less heat. More light, less heat. which means to say we need more dialogue, we need more debate, we need more discourse, but we need something that's rational and reasonable and verifiable and refutable. In short, not merely monotone, not merely diatribe, but real dialogue, which means you respect someone you're talking with, and you might even say, you know, you've convinced me, you're right. When have you heard that in the air last? When people actually have a discussion and listen to each other and agree. Which isn't the same as a debate, where in debate you want to win. You're out to win something. That's right, too. What's appropriate? We need to think outside the box more. Think outside the box. And remember, as I said the other evening in another context, the devil is always in the details. Whether it's your finance, your FAP policy, or elections, like Nancy's comment about the elections, makes good sense. Well, we shouldn't have in the bylaws things about the elections which I want to change, and things that weren't even in the bylaws which needed to be changed in order to have fair elections. Once again, we need to rethink a lot of things and do them more appropriately, more reasonably, more functionally, and more inexpensively. That includes our elections, that includes our programming, so we have quality, we have relevance, we reach people who ordinarily wouldn't listen to us, as you would in a debate and dialogue. People want to listen to their side, their champion, and they have to listen to the other side, too. You'd have more people, more support, more money, and more effect. So think outside the box, and remember, the devil is in the details.
Thank you. Reza Poor?
Yes, as an outreach member, in every community, every colleges I go, I come back with 30, 25 students that they are willing to come to the station and to be trained, to be part of the news department and other program. But we don't have news department. We pay two individual with 2-3 minutes, you know, report from here dealing with city council and mayor office. That's the news from Los Angeles. All these students willing to come and be trained to produce program, to participate as a volunteer. But what happened in the last 6 months, most of the volunteer programs turned to be paid programmer. And you could look at the list of, you know, expenses has gone up. This is not community, you know, radio station. We sell this empty slogan, power to the people. No, power to the West LA, that there are a bunch of rich people over there. Another thing is fee waiver. There are a lot of poor people that they cannot pay $25. They are willing to pay or to come to the station and spend 3 to 4 hours with $5, $10. That's their station. But they are denying, you know, these people's right in poor area because they don't like to hear oppressed people.
Thank you. Nancy Lawrence and then Fernando.
I spoke earlier today, so I'm going to put on one of my other hats. I'm in the Peace and Freedom Party, and I'm a proud red and I'm a proud green. And we got to connect those dots and connect those issues. And I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not afraid to call myself a watermelon. And you can cut me open and see how red I am inside. I don't even hide the red, okay? One of the issues that I see is the news department has become a disaster. And since Eva Georgia was kicked off and certain other people took over and changed the programming. Part of the reason, yes, is finances. But part of the reason is also because you took out the community people who had community commentaries on the news department. So it's now kind of boring. I mean, there are some good reporters who try to do good things, but they're limited in what they can say and do, it seems. So that's something we've got to straighten. Secondly, you know, for new programming in the future, I was once a member of the program council at KPFK. I don't know if you have it at the other stations or not, but one of the things I suggested, and we never really got it off the ground because there's so many issues, and I can understand it's hard. But one of the things that would be a good idea for a program at any of the stations is to have a dialogue of the radical left. Let's say have an hour-long program, come on once a month or something. And where you have various socialist, communist, anarchist groups getting together, maybe you have a host, or maybe the host can come from a different party or group, however that's arranged. And they can dialogue about creating a new society, a new civilization. So I think that's a good idea for a programmer. And again, we got to deal with the racism in our station. Some of the people of color who have been hired recently, backgrounds are kind of suspect. They don't really come from the grassroots. So we really need to get people who have their ears to the ground.
Thank you. Fernando, and then John Wenger.
The other guy was my twin brother. What I need to tell you, what I need to tell you now is that when I had the gold, the guts to apply as a program director for KPFK, this is what I proposed. Bring 200 young people, 14 to 20 years old, from all the different ethnic groups in town, train them how to produce news features, 4 to 5 minutes long, and insert their production in every 1 hour show. Of course, in the case of Roy of Hollywood, he will have to give us 15 minutes because he controls several hours of programming. And by doing so, nobody will have to be thrown out and replaced, but at the same time, we'll have a very vibrant presence of the young people of Southern California, along with the other retired and old dinosaurs at KPFK, and will be a very, very nice composition, very nice diversity, and be able to bring the energy of the young people. That was refuted. It was coming from a Mexican, so what the hell, why accept it, right? But the problem is here is that even though it's a good idea, they don't want to bring the young people forth to be part of KPFK, and that's really sad, brothers and sisters. We ought to do something about this. It's not too late. It's still not too late. Thank you.
Thank you. John Wenger and then Tracy.
I pass.
Now, does that mean you want to be on later or you're giving?
I'm just giving it up.
Okay. Tracy.
I didn't.
Somebody did. It looks suspiciously like Fernando. Bernard White. Followed by Lawrence Reyes.
This is probably my last time talking to you after many years. And there's some people I want to thank. I want to thank Steve Brown, for instance, for the dozens of emails that he wrote over the years, for his campaign of vilification and demonization, who has provided me with just volumes of stuff that I can use later on. I also want to thank Grace Aaron for kick-starting the process of violating all of my due process rights, which will also help me later on. I also want to say that I hear that you're going into executive session and you're going to be talking to Steve Brown. Well, let me tell you what he's going to tell you. He's going to come up with a plan of how he can rescue Pacifica, which is the position that he always wanted to get you folks in. And a very important part of that plan is going to be Gary Null, how he's going to have Gary Null on all 5 radio stations. And together, because they're all business partners, they're going to make millions of dollars over that relationship with WBAI. So you're going to be wined and dined by a millionaire this evening who has a plan that always was in effect, that we tried to tell you about it for years, and nobody listened to it. So I want to thank, I want to thank the PMB too, maybe not you people, but for ignoring my request at least 3 years ago for some assistance in dealing with the racism of Steve Brown. So thank you all very much.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes, followed by Sarah Klibner.
Lawrence Reyes from KPFK, and I hope I don't shake this time, and if I do something, grab my hand, please. Okay, what I want to talk about is the election, since Ms. Aaron brought it up, in regards to the amount of people of color that she recruited. I'm not going to diminish those people because I think those are good people. So I'm not going to say anything ill about them. But what I do want to address is the elections, and one of my concerns is the amount of money that is injected into a nonprofit community-based network, and how that disenfranchises people like me. And yes, Ken, I am a Latino. He told me I shouldn't be saying that, so I just thought I'd say it anyway. So one of the things that I hope that you look at is really that portion in the bylaws that says that all resources should be equally distributed. And I guess that would mean that you take the money out of the elections. Give people, put us everybody on a fair playing field. This way we could run on our merits, and we don't have to, borrow and steal money or actually take money from people who are suspect or not know where the money comes from. I know I can't afford to put the kind of money into a campaign as a person like Ms. Aaron and Mr. Aaron could do, and those people who support them could do as well, make those kind of contributions into a PayPal that has the core letters of KPFK. And I know this is a network-wide problem. I don't think it's a problem in Houston because I haven't heard anything bad about the way the elections are run there. I would be in favor of term limits in terms of people not having the opportunity to overpower community-based people and people who are representing actual people in the community. And I speak of every community. So that's what I hope that the Elections Committee would do, is we really look at blur in the bylaws that says that all resources should be equally distributed. And that means having access to the email lists at the stations and our candidates being able to send out emails as well.
Thank you. Sarah Kleppner, followed by Steve Brown.
From WBAI, listener member. The question I had earlier for LaVarne Williams are why she failed to produce a budget while she was a manager of WBAI, the IGM of WBAI. She failed to produce a draft budget, and when she left in February, there was no budget. What was she being paid for? 40 hours a week. Paid to do something, maybe not produce a budget, maybe do something that would not strengthen the station. Another question: why was a programmer removed after who objected to an attack on a listener member during an LSB meeting, who just questioned another person's response? This person was removed summarily by LaVarne Williams from his program. This is Kamau Kalfani, the Learning Tree. Why wasn't I allowed to attend the CAB meeting, the Community Advisory Board meeting, on September 23rd? I was specifically denied entry to the building. I'm sure you're aware of that. That was a meeting you hosted. Next question. Why did Ethan Young, just because this is something that's happened, needs to be aired, fail to hold the debates, the on-air debates that candidates were supposed to be able to engage in? At least 10 or 15 people or more were not and did not get a chance to get on the air and talk about the issues. This is not a fair election. And then I'd like to go back to the question of oppression that's come up in the overuse of the word. Now, this is a comment made by one person during a meeting, but the response to it in this meeting, in this board meeting, has been all too accommodating of that sentiment. And I'd like to quote the comment because it was claimed that this was not what she said. She said, and she was introduced. This is the beginning of her comments. She said, after a sentence about, oh, we all have feelings about political and social justice. Social and economic justice. If I don't hear the word oppressed people again for a while, I will be happy. Okay, that tells me that this is a person and the sentiment that others are echoing that says we want to dissolve the line between oppressed and oppressor. The fact is that we are not in a post-racial society in the U.S. and that oppression is deepening around the world. And that what I feel, and I'd like to hope other people would take this up, is that Pacifica should actually facilitate communication among the oppressed. That is the value. That is why I'm involved with this. We need a radio station that enables people to communicate with each other in times of upheaval. We have a responsibility here. Thank you.
Steve Brown, followed by Ken. followed by William Heerwagen. Heerwagen.
Good evening. I'm the Steve Brown that I understand several people have been mentioning. The funny thing about race baiting is that most people who hear the charges have no way of determining the truth. Now, earlier, Bernard White, who was fired from WBAI, said that I called him a big black gorilla. Never did. He said that I wrote racist emails about him. Never did, ever. Don DeBar repeated those charges in a publication, and that publication was forced to retract and apologize and post the apology on the front page. But it doesn't matter. 30 to 60% of the American population still believes that Barack Obama is a Muslim, and that Saddam Hussein blew up the World Trade Towers, and that the government is planning to have death panels. It doesn't matter that the truth is out there. As long as people keep repeating lies, there are always people to believe them. And I hope the board tomorrow can protect itself from my plans to take over Pacifica and make millions of dollars from it.
Thank you. William Heerwagen, followed by Volunteer Program.
William Heerwagen from New York. I'd just like to echo some comments made earlier today. I thought they were great. Nancy Kent made some comments, and I might use some of the words she used because I had written them before she used them, but and I forget which one she used. But I think we're Pacifica is on a march to centralization, which is exactly what we fought back at what we call in New York the Christmas coup. And everything's going to be controlled nationally. Everything's going to be controlled by a few people. We've got so far financial controls, and we've got gag rules. We've got the non-recognition of the existing rules, bylaws, and unions, union contracts. And we've got the usage of the word, the language. You have to watch the language that's used in a lot of these motions. They're very generic. There's no way to determine what they mean by attacks or strange behavior or whatever words they use. I remember being in a studio where right after a show, someone said they were attacked, and there were lies and things like that. And people were just giving their facts and their opinions, but this became an attack. So you got to be careful what you write in these rules and regulations that you're passing, these motions. I'd also like to say something, if I could read my own writing. I make notes to myself and then can't read them. There's a motion around, I don't think it's surfaced yet here, but about the decreasing, I think someone else mentioned it earlier, decreasing the size of the LSB and the PNB and changing the voting methods. These are all very dangerous things, a march toward very, very tight control by a small group of people. And I'd also like to say that I believe thoroughly that Informativo should be moved back to its 5:30 a.m. and maybe keep the other slot too. But the people around the world need it is the way I understand it, and that was the best way they could get it, not only the people in L.A. And I'd also like to say, I know I'm out of time, that I haven't heard a lot about Haiti. I mean, there was a 250,000 people homeless, and I mean killed, and the millions of people homeless, and I don't hear anybody talking about it anymore, except we have a show in New York called Haiti, the Struggle Continues. They still talk about it, but I don't hear anybody else talking about it. We need to talk about it.
Next is actually Serene Roberts, and followed by John Doe.
This is a little awkward. How do you guys do this? Okay, I'll just have to do that. Are we still at 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You guys might want to do something about that time. Who's timing?
Please don't. No, nothing like that from the PNB. Yeah, start the time over.
Thanks. so many things to touch on, but I want to remind this board, you may not know that, some of you are new, although much of the politics is old. There's not just supposed to be a commitment to Spanish language programming, but there's supposed to be funding for Spanish language programming. So there's a former director who's busy fighting to keep herself involved on PNB committees, although she's no longer on any board. But she was one of the people who was supposed to have been finding financing in this same building. I think we made that pledge several years ago. So let's not just return Informativo to a place where its audience can actually hear it. Let's find the money to fund that project, please. It's important. There's a commitment. If there's a commitment to the Latino community and for making something available in Spanish that, even with my limited Spanish, I know is not available elsewhere. Let's put some money behind it. God knows there have been enough paid slots appearing on people's budgets without any announcements or discussion or search committees or anything. Let's find the money to pay for something we claim we approve. I've heard much talk about the importance of arbitrons in the use of evaluations, and program evaluations need to happen. But you know what also needs to happen? There needs to be a clear, consistent, transparent process for how program changes are being made. None of the imported programming into one of the best spots on the WBAI dial were discussed with the staff. They simply appeared imported from California. And I dare say, having listened to some of your programming, it's not even some of your better offerings. So what's up with that? With regard to staff, I would like to know, I'd like this board to demand to know the status of the so-called retirement plans. Working people, it's bad enough that the paid staff get very little for what they do. The least they deserve is to have their benefits properly paid for, to be paid for on time. I know with the last round of layoffs, people in New York were promised that if you take your severance pay in installments, your insurance will continue. That did not happen. So let's see what you guys are really doing for the staff, including those who claim to represent paid staff but are, you know, proposing to elevate their own careers. Thank you.
Thank you. John Doe.
I was secretary of my local station board for 4 years. I'm secretary of this local station board now. About 4 months ago, after 7 years of volunteering at the front desk to answer phones on every Thursday or every Tuesday or twice a week, I was released. I was laid off was the terminology. I witnessed a rather comical exercise between two local station board members with the front door, which turned a little silly. Since then, it has turned to violence. It's funny, it's been 4 months since it happened, 3.5 months since it happened, but somehow in the in-between, it turned to violence. I'm not sure, because I was sitting there, and that's why I was dismissed. I hope you save money. I was free for 7 years. In 50 years, KPFK didn't have any doors, any television cameras, any electric locks, any screen doors in the hallways like a low-density women's prison. We have all that now. It's very difficult to get into the station. It's almost impossible to learn how to do radio in the station. You're forgotten if you're a volunteer. K is at the top of the bottom 20% in its signal profile. That's 59 competing signals. We're in the top of the bottom 20 competing signals with a little better than 1%. Our highest competition that covers essentially the same area and the same 12 million people has 5%. We are not dying. We're not financially failing. We haven't yet, and I've been on that finance committee for 5 years. The one bleeding wound is that National won't tell us what they do with the 20% they take from us, and they used to make us pay for Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News. The CPB got after their ass, and they had to change that. They were lying left and right for all the time until Grace walked in. She doesn't lie. She just doesn't do anything. And that's why WBA stopped paying their rent, because she stopped doing anything.
Thank you. That concludes listener comment. We're going to move on with the committee reports. I believe the next committee report is the Governance Committee.
Elections.
I'm sorry, elections, okay.
Do you think that I can make a comment? I didn't get on the list. I
Is that all right? Is there any? Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I read a paper today from 1944. I was cleaning out somebody's house that can't clean it out for themselves. And when I came across it, I was amazed. Everything was about war. They were marching in to get the Nazis. There was a Mexican famous man who was going on a tour to talk about the war. And then I came across part of a paper which I liked. And it was a woman's group meets to consider peace. And that's when I thought of Lou Hill. He was sitting in his prison camp in 1944 doing broadcast. He was crafting the plan for Pacifica. And I know that when he was doing that plan, he was thinking of brown people and red people, yellow people, white people, all working together, holding hands, and envisioned their voices coming out on the radio. My grandfather came in to Ellis Island, and he envisioned a world of people working together. He got down on his hands and knees, and he worked and worked until he opened a factory of mattresses with his brothers. The fact that he came into Ellis Island has been striking me lately. I love New York. I'm from Chicago, but I love New York. New York, I've only been there for 2 weeks. My family lives there. My heart, my brother lives there. And what I want to say is, if you want to put a radio station in Chicago, you're not going to bring down New York. Because Chicago is where I grew up, and I'm a radical. And we don't need a radio station on Pacifica if you're going to bring down the other people. You need to consider the people who are working at the stations now. And you need to consider this, the wholeness of it. And we don't want your radio station if you don't.
Thank you.